The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media and the Wrestling Viewpoint Network.
What's up, all you stars and studs? This is former WWE diva and current First Lady of Ring of Honor, Maria Kanellis, and you are listening to the Wrestling Viewpoint Network.
Wrestling Care has held the finals of their almost year-long tournament, Race for the Ring, on Saturday night, January 18th in Gardena. The show has been an ongoing tournament. This time it benefited the San Diego Center for Children. Your hostess of the evening was former WWE diva Maria, and I spoke to her briefly right before the show. So let us know, Maria, what are you doing right now?
Right now, I work for Ring of Honor Wrestling. I'm the First Lady of ROH. I'm also running a podcast. It's Mike and Maria in Wonderland. You can catch that on iTunes if you look it up. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is Mike and Maria Podcast. So I'm doing those two things, but then I'm also in school right now, full-time. I'm getting my Associate's in Art, and then I plan on going to get my Bachelor's degree. So I'm a very busy lady.
I also
just had a film come out. It's called Army of the Damned. You can catch that on iTunes. You can also watch it on demand.
Wow.
So between all of that, I'm planning my wedding. I'm getting married this fall.
Congratulations.
So thank you very much.
Now, what do you plan on doing with your degree?
You know, I'm looking at two different degrees right now. I'm not exactly sure which one I want to go forward with, but I have a feeling that I'll always end up in entertainment because
right.
I love wrestling and I love entertaining so very much.
Great. And Mae Young passed away this week, and we were wondering if you might have a couple memories with her.
I've shared a locker room with her many, many times. One memory in particular is when we did a Christmas match, and she definitely stole the show.
Yeah, you always do. Well, thank you very much.
Of course.
The show opened with a battle of the big men that pitted Brian Cage against Aaron Aguilera. A lot of you may remember Aguilera when he was Jesus in the WWE or as the Zodiac in All Japan Pro Wrestling. Cage dominated the match, but in the end it was Aguilera that got the victory. The next match was a finals of the Beat the Champ Women's Series. The way that these matches have worked in tournament style is that they run 10 minutes long and whoever wins the most falls in that 10 minutes wins the overall match. Kind of like a mini Ironman match. And so far, Katarina Lee, who a lot of you may remember as Katie Lee Burchill in the WWE or as Winter in TNA, has been undefeated. And she took on probably the toughest opponent she faced in the entire series in cheerleader Melissa Anderson. It was a really, really, really good, rough battle, something you don't usually see with women wrestlers these days, especially on TV. You might see it in Independence and in Shimmer and places like that, but not usually from the big companies. It was very close, and at the end, Lee was able to pull it out and won 4-3 and went through the entire series undefeated. Then we had a really nice three-way match between B-Boy, Willie Mack, and Brandon Gatson. One of the better three-way matches I had seen. In the end, B-Boy won the match by pinning Brandon Gatson. And then we had a grudge bout between Adam Page and Adam Pearce. I got to tell you, in the very beginning of this match, Adam Pearce was hiding at ringside and hit Adam Page with a clothesline that would make Stan Hansen smile. It was just absolutely brutal. And it looked like that Pearce was going to win the match, but in the end, Adam Page kind of pulled off the upset and pinned Pearce. After the match was over, they did a very nice tribute, Wrestling Cares did, to Adam Pearce and thanked him for all his contributions to wrestling. And then Pearce did a very nice speech thanking the fans and everyone else. Then we had a match for the Golden State Tag Team Trophies, which pitted Old School Oliver John and Timothy Thatcher against Rocky Romero and supposed to be originally Alex Kozloff, part of the Hooligans. But Kozloff was injured, so Joey Ryan substituted for Kozloff. And it was a really good, well-done tag team match. It looked like that Romero and Ryan were going to win, but Romero interfered once too often and cost his team a point, which really forced the match into overtime. And in overtime, Thatcher and Oliver John won. I was able to speak to Thatcher right before the show and get a little bit more about his background and talk about his career so far.
I wish there was more, but I'm not.
That's okay. So have you enjoyed your Wrestling Cares experience?
Oh, it's been brilliant. Wonderful. Les Thatcher, Nigel McGuinness, tremendous. David Jackson, tremendous setup here. Like, wonderful matches, best shows I think I've ever been a part of. So I've enjoyed it very much.
So. Great. So for people who might not be that familiar with you, tell us a little bit about your background.
I started training in Sacramento, up north in California. Big Ugly JD Bishop, Supreme Pro Wrestling, is the name of the company. They still run today. That's where I started, and then from there I got to go to England. I was there for 3 months and worked for All Star Wrestling and doing holiday camps and putting up rings and all this stuff and learning, and got to go back a few times. Training Catch-as-Catch-Can style wrestling, name of Ricky Lazaro, who is a student of Billy Robinson, so I have ties to that.
Yeah.
Actually, I think if stuff works out, I get to go train with Mr. Robinson in a couple of weeks, so that'll be very enjoyable.
Good luck.
Thank you. I'm going to need it. But that sort of bit. Bouncing around California, I got lucky and did a couple of international gigs. So.
Yeah. So, now with the English style, is the English style in wrestling still, they don't do the rounds or the old school stuff they used to do back that in the world of sports and that kind of stuff, do they?
No. When I was there, there's one company called Premier Promotions that still does proper, like, everything is rounds and all that stuff. I got to work there once, and All-Star does it for their heavyweight title matches. Mm-hmm. So they keep the tradition of that, but most of the shows, no, very Americanized pro wrestling and all that.
So who are some of the guys that were you a fan growing up?
Oh, yes, very much so. Very much. Used to watch it with me gran in the morning when she babysit me as my folks would be off doing what have you. So.
Yeah. Was there anybody in particular you modeled yourself after or favorites of?
I am a tremendous William Regal fan. He's the tops. And I remember as a kid, the Marcus of the Queensberry Rules series that he did with Ric Flair on WCW's morning program, where he's Lord Steven Regal. And they basically did a British rules match, but they spread it out over 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So each round would be a week worth of a bit. They would do 5 minutes of proper wrestling and all of a sudden moved up. And that was brilliant. That captivated me because even though me mom and all this stuff is from England, I hadn't seen British wrestling.
Right.
I only know American wrestling. I'm from Oakland, not really from, I was born there, but me mom's from Stoke-on-Trent, so she brought that in. But that just captivated me. Always huge, very loyal Steven Regal fan. That was the main one. And then, of course, this goes on, Fit Finlay, tremendous. Going back and getting to see Dynamite Kid in his prime and all that, so brilliant. And then as it went along, All Pro Wrestling, which we were going to discuss later with Mr. Alexander, was in the area that I'm in. And they held the King of Indies tournament 2001. And I went to the second night. It was the first time I saw Doug Williams versus American Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And that match, I looked at it. This is very different, and this is spectacular. Because it was like nothing else. But once again, those are the influences that I have. It's the European, more ground-based style wrestlers. So.
Everybody has goals. I mean, at this point in your career, it's still early on. Do you have any in particular?
I'm a big fan of the unnamed arrow never misses. there always are bits and things, but goals change all the time. As you've made light of certain areas, you see, maybe that's not such a good idea anymore.
Exactly.
But I'm enjoying my time in wrestling. It's been wonderful to me so far.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed it. So.
Well, we were mentioning this a few minutes ago about APW and Roland Alexander. And Roland, on the California Classic page, we talk a lot about old wrestling. And Roland was always a really big supporter of wrestling. And he was also a very big supporter of you. He was the first person that told me about you. He says, when I came to the show a few months ago, he says, make sure you see Timothy. So do you have any memories of Roland?
Mr. Alexander was very, very kind man. It was always said a kind word to me, and it was weird because when I first met him, he had quite a feud with the place that I trained at, rightfully so. When you're part of of something you believe your school is the best and all that stuff. And anyone that wasn't from that area, he kind of had a problem. So when I had my first match in APW, he came to the back and he's like, "Where'd you train?" I told him, "Big Ugly in Sacramento." He's like, "There's no way." And I'm like, "No, that's actually what it is." "Well, you've done other stuff, right?" "Well, yeah, but that's where my base point is." And since he was very, very supportive of me all the time, and I was very grateful for it, as you said. Very, very kind man, never had a mean word to say about me. And as he got older and his hair became a much more open individual and started looking more in the positives, and man who had passion for wrestling, and that in itself is always tremendous because he had tremendous passion for it.
Okay. Well, good luck, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you again
sir.
Soon.
Thank you very much,
Thank
sir.
You.
Then it was time for the finals of the Race for the Ring. The last two men, the men who lasted through the entire tournament, were Johnny Gargano, who's best known for his work in Dragon's Gate USA, and Adam Cole from Ring of Honor. This time, instead of making it a 10-minute time limit, it was the most falls in 20 minutes. This was one of the better matches I'd seen live in quite some time. They wound up going into a 4-4 draw and went into overtime. And the overtime then expired. And usually at that point, if overtime expired, then both men, it's ruled a draw and both men are eliminated. But because of the fact that this was the finals, they waived that and decided just to go until one man beat the other. It went back and forth for about another 5 minutes, probably about 35 minutes all total from the beginning to the end of the match, and saw a bunch of super kicks thrown at the end. Both men hit each other with a super kick. Both men went down. But unfortunately for Cole, Gargano landed on top of him, and that when the three count was sounded, it was Johnny Gargano who wound up winning the entire Race for the Ring tournament. Really, really good show. I think that everybody involved should be commended. If you like your wrestling more athletic-based than skit-like or angle-like, then this is definitely something you want to check out on video. You can go to their website, Wrestling Cares, and take a look at the videos there, and you can buy them. Really, really good show. I hope that they come back next year or later this year and do another one, because it definitely was something that's a little bit different than what you're seeing out there today. This is Dan Farron for the Wrestling Viewpoint Network.